League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. I'm always grateful to Fred A.J. Jung for letting us do a little hit before this, mentioning that Dave Sarakin, the U.S. men's national team coach, will be on this show tonight ahead of the U.S. and Mexico. We're on Facebook Live tonight. You can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, if you've got something to say, and I want to hear from you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We're streaming around the country at ESPN975.com. Podcast, podcastarena.com, and on iTunes. So, let's get this going here tonight. We got a number of great guests. First hour is brought to you by the Texas Children's Hospital. At Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers, they are the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. For more than 60 years, the Texas Children's Hospital has pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. Texas Children's Hospital is a not-for-profit and relies on generous donations from our friends in the community. And our thanks, as always, to the Texas Children's Hospital. Next week, going to be down there visiting patients, delivering soccer balls. The power of the soccer ball does really well down at Texas Children's Hospital. Looking forward to seeing the patients and their families. All right, again, 713-780-3776. Ronaldo Pena, you know him as the young talent on the Houston Dynamo from Venezuela, scored that tying goal against FC Dallas in the derby match two matches ago at the BVVA Compass Stadium. He will be on the show tonight. He will be live in studio, actually. So looking forward to that. Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, he's on the road covering Mexico ahead of the U.S.-Mexico tomorrow. That is in Nashville. So kind of a clean slate tomorrow for both the U.S. men's national team and Mexico, with young players on both teams getting opportunity. By the way, under interim managers, Dave Sarakin for the U.S. men's national team and Tuca Ferretti for Mexico. Dave Sarakin will be on tonight. We're going to talk to him about the importance of winning tomorrow. We're going to talk about these young players that are coming through. We're going to talk about the opportunity and player development experience opportunities that they are getting. So, that's the bar tomorrow night. But fans, they're going to want to win. And we'll ask Dave about that. We'll ask about differing players. We'll ask about the takeaway in the Brazil match. Look, sometimes I think U.S. soccer fans, you're not in reality. And what did you expect against Brazil? Please tell me. Did you expect the U.S. to dominate ball possession? Did you expect the U.S. to beat Brazil? What did you expect? Wasn't it enough just for a young group of players to go out and gain the inherent organic experience that they were going to get against Brazil and that canary yellow jersey? You know what I'm talking about. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. This will be a very different rivalry feel in this match, but I guarantee you, These young players from both the U.S. and Mexico tonight are going to be competing. Mexico coming off a 4-1 beatdown to Uruguay. Luis Suarez, it was men amongst boys. And then the U.S., that 2-0 loss to Brazil. Only 35,000 in New Jersey at MetLife. Dynamo in Portland on Saturday. The first 7,500 get a scarf. Ramel Quioto apparently quoted in a Honduran newspaper saying that he wants to play in Europe. Spoke to Matt Jordan today, the Dynamo general manager. He's not out of contract, essentially, after this season. They have a bunch of renewals and differing things that go along with that contract. The Dynamo coming off a 4-2 loss to FC Dallas. They got their sights set on the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup on September 26th against the Philadelphia Union. So the Dynamo now have two matches to kind of get it right before this match with the Philadelphia Union. And again, I'm going to pose the same question as I did last week. Does the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup mean something to you, Dynamo fans? 713-780-3776. We'll also put out how important is it for a result in this U.S.-Mexico match. If you're a U.S. fan, if you're a Mexico fan, we're expecting Mexico to play a very young team as well. Gonzalez, Dos Santos, we should see those types of players in midfield. Hernandez, Alvarado, Pulido, Raul Jimenez. I think these are some real potentials for Mexico. Mexico already leaving the squad. Players like Guillermo Ochoa, Chucky Lozano. Will we see a Diego Lainez? 713-780-3776. Both teams building on the foundation of youth. And it should be interesting. But fan bases are going to want more tomorrow. They're going to want to win. When the U.S. and Mexico get together, this is about winning. But there are two managers that are interim managers, and they do understand the opportunity for players to get experience and to take out of these games as much as they possibly can, because you got players that could be involved in two cycles in the future for both of these countries. So are we realistic about the U.S. men's national team in that game against Brazil? I mean, really, what did you expect? This was simply about gathering more experience, being on the same field as Brazil. This was essentially the same Brazilian team at the World Cup. Where are areas that you would be concerned with the U.S. national team? Who will provide some of the creative fulcrum in midfield? It's a lot of very similar type midfielders. Depth at the striker position. And that's where you got to say, you know, some of you may want to push Jozy Altidore on. Uh-uh. Michael Bradley. Uh-uh. Tell me if I'm wrong. Ernie Stewart, the U.S. GM, is looking to seal a deal on a manager in December or January. That's what we're hearing. Could he be waiting for Major League Soccer to end? That's what a lot of people are thinking. Some people are saying, could it be Greg Berhalter of the Columbus Crew? Peter Vermes. Ernie Stewart has made it clear the manager needs to understand CONCACAF and that manager needs to speak English. Now, we're also hearing potentially of the Ernie Stewart Dutch connection. Tata Martino, Carlos Quiroz, Greg Vanney, TFC. Who's the next U.S. manager? Who knows? Ziggy Schmidt has stepped down from the L.A. Galaxy. And guess what? The former Dynamo head coach, Dominic Kinnear, will take over. Let's go to the phone lines. We'll get things started off tonight. Let's get Sal on the show. Sal, what's on your mind tonight, Sal?
Yes, sir, Glenn. Enjoyed the comment, and thank you for making that about the men's national team fans. As we all know, I mean, a best-case scenario where, a split personality and, at worst, schizophrenic. I mean, for crying out loud, these kids, great game, by the way. I'm all about the youth and what do we expect, right? And then when it goes, when we don't qualify for the World Cup, it's like, oh, I told you so. It's piling on, right? And it's crazy right now.
Yeah, we're not realistic always. I don't know what people were expecting from Brazil. I think if you understand the group that's there now under an interim manager and Dave Sarkin, and again, he's going to be on this show tonight. We're going to ask him a lot of questions. We really appreciate him coming on. And this is on the eve of the U.S.-Mexico. But, you know, I think fans can be a little bit out there sometimes. And I don't think it's the large majority of fans. I think most people understand what's going on. I think maybe part of the angst, Sal, might be due to the fact that the U.S. has not hired a manager yet and are being pretty methodical and slow to get that person in place. So maybe that's a little bit about where the fan is right now, because but I think it's exciting to watch youth. I think it's exciting to watch youth and possibility. I think it's exciting to watch the likes of Tim Weah and players coming back from Europe and that are getting minutes and getting some playing time and seeing the differences in them, the subtle differences that occur in maturity and growth. This to me is exciting. And you know what? I heard a lot of people saying, let's move people on and let's give youth an opportunity. Well, they're getting an opportunity, and they're getting it against great competition.
I can't wait to hear what the current coach has to say about that game. I would have liked to see Weah come in earlier. I know the first opportunity that left back had to play him the ball, and he didn't. Weah was pissed. He threw his arms up, and who knows what the heck he said to that left back. But, yeah, a lot of hungry younger players. We look good in the air. I know that's probably the, we need to focus on ball work, et cetera. But, we look good. It's not that bad. But back to that point, it's just weird, right? Like, I can't believe that, we should have won. And then on the other hand, when we lose and we don't really make the World Cup, it's kind of like, I knew it.
Fickle nature of fans, I think. And listen, as long as there's passion, everybody's allowed their opinion. There's no problem with that. I don't think there's any question. And there should be a healthy pressure, even though these guys are young. There's no problem with that. But anybody who thinks that the United States is going to outpossess Brazil and is expected to beat Brazil and is upset because that didn't happen, I would say... go do some body shots of tequila or something and continue what you're doing, because that's all about getting experience for players. And I think a lot of people came through. We had Matt Miazga on the week before, and I think Matt was an exceptional interview and had a very solid game. And there's no doubt he took something out of that game, as did many, many other players. But it is a competitive group. They want to do well. And I appreciate the phone call, Sal. Thank you.
Those kids in Europe, I remember your Miazga's mention of John Terry, right?
Yeah.
Mentoring him. Anything you need, great. And then finally, Glenn, I'm a season ticket holder for the Dynamo. For crying out loud, the season's a complete disaster, but like you are continuously touching on, we do have a chance to win the championship, and guess what that enables us to do? That's right. CONCACAF
Champions League. I think that's the biggest takeaway from the Dynamo beating the Philadelphia Union. September 26th, it's the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup Final, a tournament that began in 1914. Again, you can get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. It's a big opportunity. I don't think there's any question. I guess the question I would ask to you, Sal, is winning that cup, is that going to be good enough? I mean, is that going to then position us? This was a very, very good year. That worries me a little bit.
To me, yes. As a fan, right? I'd love to go see those games. I mean, back in the glory days with your co-host at times and Di Rosario,
Eddie.
We played in those competitions, and they were great.
You're talking about the CONCACAF Champions League. Yes, some epic games against Pachuca, and but here's the thing: if you get into the CONCACAF Champions League, the roster's going to have to be improved in order to compete. This is another thing that's going to challenge you to compete in a bigger way. And, we do need to hear from the Dynamo about what the future is going to look like here, because you win this thing, you're in the CONCACAF Champions League. And we all love the connection of MLS teams against foreign teams from other countries.
And look at Toronto, right? It's like a catch-22. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I don't know the standings right now, but you touched on it on your show. They went for it all. They almost beat, I think it was Pumas in the final. We were all for them. Hopefully the Dynamo will have that tough decision to make, and or not necessarily a decision, just an approach, right? But as a season ticket holder, I'm it's not something that we like to, I guess, envision in the future. Okay, well, our season's lost, we're not going to make a playoffs, but guess what? This is I don't want to say conciliatory, but it's fine if we win. And Kyoto, if you don't want to be here, then get him out of here, man. I mean, let's Matt Jordan, Jordan and the other catfish that's in charge. I mean, let's see what you got. This is when you earn your paycheck, no?
Yeah, by the way, Toronto FC is in ninth place in the Eastern Conference. And remember, they made it very clear to everybody. They said, look, we're putting all our eggs in the CONCACAF Champions League basket. They nearly won the competition, which would have sent them to the World Club Championship. Sadly, they didn't. I feel bad for them because I loved how bold they were in making that decision. And, you know, they've never been able to kind of right the ship here. They are in ninth place. The Dynamo now currently sit in 10th in the Western Conference. They are 38th or 94th. They're 13 points behind Seattle, who's in sixth place. So it really is all about the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Sal, thank you very much for the phone call here tonight. We'll take a break. We got more to come here. Before we go to break, though, just a quick word here again for Texas Children's Hospital. It is an amazing place down in the medical center. It's a shining star in Houston. At Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers, largest pediatric cancer center in the country. People from all over the world come in there. We have over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials. They're dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. For more than 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital has pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. What a huge piece of our community the Texas Children's Hospital is. It is a not-for-profit and relies on generous donations from our friends in the community. By the way, the King's Court, Saturday before the Portland game, that's the place to be. You'll also be watching the Premier League down there. It's in Edo, 903 Hutchins, in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. 13 monitors down there. Go in there, say hello to Jay. They got amazing food. The rooftop deck is spectacular. Some of the Indian food there, best in the city. The curries, tandooris, and chicken tikka masala. We had it up here in studio here. It was amazing. Great food staff, selection of bar and cocktails, all at great prices. Go in, say hello to Jay. King's Court at the corner, 903 Hutchins in Edo. Take a Bud Light break.
That?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, don't forget, Texas Children's Hospital is one of the leading pediatric hospitals in the country using genomic sequencing to provide state-of-the-art personalized cancer treatment for children. I've gone down there and visited a lot of the patients over the last 10 years and their parents, and so many kids from obviously in our area and in the United States, but from all over the world. They love soccer. Hundreds of children are diagnosed at the Texas Children's Hospital every year. It isn't a job. It's the life of the people working down there. Texas Children's Hospital is a not-for-profit organization, relies on generous donations from our friends in the community and beyond to help us provide high-quality programs and services. Texas Children's Hospital, it began with a promise to provide the best possible care for every patient who comes in for help. They are also continuously working to develop new and innovative treatments for some of the most complex conditions and illnesses, which philanthropic support makes possible. Quick hit here from Josh, and then we're going to go to Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. Josh, what's on your mind? Real quick.
Hey, what's going on? Love the show.
Thank you, Josh.
I have a question about the U.S. national team. Curious, you know, soccer's always, it seems like it's always up against the popularity contest, you know, with trying to make soccer, you know, a mainstream sport in the United States.
Yep.
How much do you think it hurt soccer in general in the United States with the men's national team not making the World Cup this year?
I think there was definitely some, you know, it wasn't great not being at the World Cup. These are always, every 4 years, you have a moment to platform the sport for it and the consciousness of mainstream media, people that then become fans because they get into it. But I'll be honest with you, here in Houston and around the country, I don't think there's any question that people were still interested in it. Yes, we would have loved to have had the nationalistic side of the United States national team being in it. Things did hurt. On the other hand, if the U.S. had qualified for this World Cup, all these young guys that are getting opportunity and that will be a part of the roster tomorrow night when Mexico takes on the U.S. in Nashville would not have had this opportunity to play against high-quality opposition right now. So from the perspective of developing young players for the national team in the next two World Cup cycles, not qualifying was a good thing. On the other hand, sponsorships, marketing, consciousness around the country, all of that was missed not being in the World Cup, no question. Josh, thank you for the call. So I appreciate that from Josh. All right, let's go to ESPN FC's Tom Marshall. Now, he's been covering Mexico. He's on the Tom Marshall tour with the Mexican national team, I believe, in Nashville right now. Tom, how are you?
Hi, Glenn. How's it going? Yeah, here in Nashville, Ricardo Ferretti just gave a press conference. So, yeah, interesting things. And obviously, it seems like it's the new era, the new epoch of the of this rivalry, no, between the United States and Mexico, with so many young players from both sides.
Yeah, very interesting. So what were some of the key takeaways for you, Tom? And by the way, Tom, a tremendous writer for ESPN FC. That's where you can find his writings. What did Tuca say in the press conference?
Honestly, this is today with the first press conference that he's given, and he basically gets bombarded with questions from the Mexican press about whether he's going to stay on or not. You know, I'd say 50% or more of the questions are, oh, are you going to stay on? Is there any chance you stay on? What would it need to for you to stay on? And honestly, Glenn, today was the first time that, I don't know, I kind of, with what he was saying, it kind of made me think he actually does want to stay on. And if the Mexican Federation and Tigres, his club team, can strike a deal, then it could happen. I mean, Ferretti mentioned that there's a clause in his contract that could allow him to leave. Now, the fact that he's looked and to see if there's a clause in his contract makes me believe that there is some interest on his part in taking over the Mexican national team.
Very interesting because, yeah, like you said, that's the first time we would have heard that. And he has said in the past, right, that it was kind of his give back to take the team on an interim basis because of all the great years he's had in Mexico and how the Mexican people have been so good to him, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's been his line. Obviously, this is the second time he's come in. But, you know, all the press reports, and they have been quite consistent, suggest that he is the number one. I mean, he is the one that the Federation wants. They just think his experience, the fact he's been in Mexico, I think, 40 years, you know, the fact that he's been so consistent at club level, he knows the Mexican players, he knows the league, he knows the Federation, he knows how everything works, he knows how to deal with the press. And we saw with Juan Carlos Osorio, it's difficult. And, you know, the Mexican national team job wears managers down, because the expectations are so great and, you know, it's difficult to deal with. And I think Ferretti, with all that experience he's got, they see him as somebody who can deal with it all. So yeah, I mean, we'll see. But it's definitely looks like they're going to try to make this happen.
He's Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. He's been on the road providing wonderful coverage of the Mexican national team and their matches here in the United States. So how about your takeaway from the 4-1 loss against Uruguay at Energy Stadium here in Houston? 60,000 people at that one. What'd you think of that night?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you had one team that is absolutely, you know, at the top of its game, that had a lot of top quality players based in Europe, and another team that was basically a B team. And it showed. I mean, I don't think Mexico deserved to be beaten 4-1. But they definitely didn't deserve to win the game. I think Uruguay, I mean, it's just amazing how they play a friendly game in the United States and you think, you know, maybe they're not going to take it 100%. And then you see Luis Suarez doing what he did and the assist, the couple of goals. And you think, you know, that is the example, not just for Mexico's players, but for players everywhere, really. I mean, that's the work ethic, the dedication, the determination, just the love for winning that I think, you know, we need to we need to see this side of the Atlantic as well some of the time.
Where is the Mexican fan base now with this young group of guys? Because as you mentioned at the top here, this is going to be a lot of youthful guys getting real opportunity, getting real experience tomorrow for both squads, which in itself makes it very interesting. I would imagine this is going to be highly competitive simply because it's Mexico-U.S., but also because it's a lot of young guys trying to prove themselves. But where's the Mexican media and fan base with this group, and do they truly believe these are going to be some of the guys that are going to represent in the next two cycles of a World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, I think the media and the fans at the minute are kind of willing to give this team a bit of a break, willing to give them some time. I think a lot of the media and fans were sick of Juan Carlos Osorio. I think that was very definite. So him leaving, and then Ferretti comes in, who's kind of popular. I think that gives him a bit of leeway, a bit of a cushion. At the end of the day, Glenn, the 4-1 loss to Uruguay, if that would have been Juan Carlos Osorio in charge, I mean, the critics would have been out.
Yeah.
And I thought
the knives would have been sharpened for that one. Yeah,
100%. And honestly, the reaction the next day was like, oh, you know, it's a younger team and, you know, this and that. Actually, the average age of the teams were quite similar. But this game against the United States, we are going to see, you know, he's going to change it up. It's the next generation. I mean, you know, it's difficult to say, Glenn, like, you know, to say, you know, are these players going to make it to 2022, 2026?
Correct.
But some of these players are definitely, they're in line. I mean, if you were to predict which players are going to be there, you'd say Diego Lainez, you'd say Roberto Alvarado, Eric Aguirre. I mean, those kind of players are projected to make those squads.
Now, how about Jonathan Gonzalez? He was quoted in one of your articles. He said, I made the perfect decision. Everything went perfectly. I'm very content, very, very content, very happy to be here. And he was talking about, you know, making the choice to playing for Mexico, who opened the doors to him. He said it wasn't an easy decision, brought his parents involved into the thing, too. So do we expect to see him in Nashville tomorrow? And, you know, if we see him playing very well there, we all might be going, gosh, he could have been ours.
No, 100%. I mean, I think he's likely to start. It is what it is. I mean, this is a kid who has been playing consistently for Monterrey, who, you know, this season a new coach has come in, Diego Alonso, who plays a different style. But Jonathan Gonzalez is still the starting central midfielder for one of the teams that spends most money, not just in CONCACAF region, but in the whole continent. I mean, if Monterrey don't think Jonathan Gonzalez is good enough, they're going to spend $10 million, $12 million bringing in a central midfielder who they feel is good enough. I mean, you know, there's no sentiment involved in that. It's because he's a very good player. So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of expectation. You know, it's going to be fascinating to see how he deals with the pressure because, you know, this isn't a full-blooded qualifier or anything like that. But on it, but for Jonathan Gonzalez, I mean, he's playing against former teammates, you know, like Tyler Adams and players like that. So he's going to be, you know, it's a test for him. It's another test, and he's passed most of the tests in his kind of fledgling career up to date. And you know, tomorrow's another one.
Yeah, that's a great point you bring up, that he's going up against some of his former teammates. Jonathan Dos Santos had a bit of a struggle against Uruguay. Would you agree with that? Where does he fit in the future of the national team?
Yeah, I mean, it's the narrative's always different, isn't it? I mean, you know, whereas some of the other players maybe give a bit of leeway because they're a bit younger, I think you expect a lot better from Jonathan Dos Santos. And obviously the, you know, the Mexican fan base, the fact that he moved from Europe to MLS in his prime, I don't think a lot of Mexico fans kind of like that. They wanted to see him carry on in Europe because he was doing really well with Villarreal. And then for suddenly to go to MLS to join his brother, it's kind of, you know, I don't know, I think people question his ambition. But, you know, Ferretti's brought him in. You know, Giovanni's not here, Carlos Vela's not here, Jonathan's here, and I think he seems to get on really well with Ferretti, to be honest. They're laughing and joking around in the press conference today and laughing and joking around in the training. So I think Jonathan's got his chance. I mean, he's at the age where he can make the next World Cup. You know, he could be that experienced midfielder at the next World Cup. So it really depends on him, I think. I don't think MLS will stop him getting called up, but he definitely needs to be one of the top midfielders in the league. I mean, you can't fall short of that because we know he can be. And so if he steps off the gas, then, you know, there are younger players like Jonathan Gonzalez that will take over his spot.
Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, Wayne. And what's been the fallout now that we've had, 8 weeks now since the World Cup has been over. The stunning start with the win over Germany. Has there been any more fallout from that and talk about that since it's been concluded? Or is it kind of past history now and we're just focused on what's happening right now with the Mexican national team?
I think mainly what's happening right now. I mean, you know, the idea of the fifth game, it just pervades Mexican football from the top to the bottom, and it's all about how can we get to that fifth game. And you know, in some ways, it doesn't matter what happened in how Mexico played against Germany or how poorly they played against Sweden. The bottom line is, it was another World Cup going out at the round of 16 stage. So all the questions now are, what needs to happen from now to, what, December 2022, so that Mexico has got the best chance to get to that quarterfinal stage. And obviously the number one issue is who's going to be the head coach. And obviously that feeds right back to where we started, isn't it? With Ferretti, and will he accept, and will the deal be able to be concluded with Tigres? So I think that's the number one issue right now in the Mexican game.
Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. Let me take you into some other things that I know you've been talking quite a lot about. Double contracts. I don't want to get too heavy into that, but there are some pay problems. People are having problems getting paid at times with some of the clubs in Mexico. Obviously, we've heard about Chivas and things. But the whole notion of younger players not getting enough opportunity, I think it dovetails perfectly into a comparison with Major League Soccer, where that's always a concern with a lot of the teams in this league. I mean, here in Houston, you know, we wonder about that a little bit too. But is Mexico going to institute any or go back to instituting a rule that allows and almost forces coaches to play younger players?
Yeah, actually, it's just come in this season. A new rule that I think is, I can't remember the exact minutes, I think it's 700 and something, 45 minutes. Players under the age of, I think it's 21, have to play a certain amount of minutes. I mean, it's not a lot of minutes, to be honest, but it is a start, and we have seen this season, even Tigres, with the squad that they've got, they've played now and then a couple of youngsters. So I don't know. I mean, obviously it's a really big debate. I mean, for example, Tuca Ferretti hates it. He absolutely hates the rule. As a manager, he thinks that these young players need to be brought in when they're ready. And if that's when they're 25 years old, so be it. If that's when they're 17, so be it. But I think the problem he has is if you got an under-21s rule, so you play one player for one season, then he hits 22, then you need to play another under-21 player, and then they hit 22. And then what happens to those players?
Well, you better hope they're good enough by 22 after the year of experience, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's, you know, there are counter arguments. But in 10 years' time, you know, have you achieved anything? And I think, ideally, the club owners would realise the benefit, like in MLS, like in Houston. I mean, the amount of young talent in Houston. The ideal would be to get these players, because they're good enough, into the first team, and then you create a link with the whole community. You know, and sometimes, not just in MLS, but
sure,
that's sometimes been lost in football these days.
Well, locals being a big part of your team, that has to be a part of the future in Houston. I don't think there's any question. But, you know, it's about getting Mexican players balanced with more opportunity. How does Tuca Ferretti believe that will happen? It doesn't seem like people are brave enough to play enough young Mexicans at times.
Yeah, I mean, this is the contradiction of Ferretti as well, and it's one of the criticisms about him taking over. I mean, these two games against Uruguay and the United States, you know, he's been talking up the new generation of Mexican players. He's been saying, you know, these guys are the future, they're so talented, they're hungry.
Yeah.
But when it comes to his club side, I mean, if every Liga MX team gave the same amount of opportunities to young Mexican players as Tigres did, then the national team would be in a poor, poor situation moving forward. I mean, you would have basically zero young players coming through, to be honest, because they just go and buy foreigners, and they buy absolute top quality foreigners. But he's given very few opportunities to Mexicans. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, somewhere within the two, there's a balance. But, you know, it's it depends on the goodwill of the clubs and them doing the right thing. And seeing, like, Pachuca, I mean, Pachuca's model, if you look at how much money they've made from scouting properly, from producing players properly, and then selling them onto Europe, I mean, they're making millions and millions
of
dollars.
They're focused on that, and they're willing to lose results in the league to be a team that produces and sells. So, you know, how do you keep a fan base then if you're not a team that's really in contention?
Yeah, I mean, that's the dilemma. And I actually spoke to the Pachuca sporting director, and he said, you know, we ask our fans to be patient. We ask them, you know, we're trying to get it together, but obviously you're getting the balance between successful team and one that produces talent is, you know, it's a difficult. It's like an existential problem with a club that has that policy. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Mexican Federation should be so, so grateful for a club like Pachuca, because Eric Gutierrez has just left PSV. Irving Lozano is the star of the Mexican game. Yep. Hector Herrera, for me, the best Mexican player right now. And, you know, those are three big players, and that's only in the last few years that they've gone and become, you know, top, top players.
Tom, you're a great man. Thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it from Nashville ahead of the Mexico-U.S. national team game tomorrow. Tom, as always, thank you very much. Again, follow him at ESPN FC, and it's Mexico at Mexico World Cup on Twitter. Tom, thank you.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for the invite.
He's really, really sharp, Tom, and love all his stuff on Mexico. Follow his writings all the time. Bud Light is brewed deep in the heart of Texas to be shared among friends all over Texas. Enjoy responsibly, AB. Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. All special edition Texas packaging is brewed in Texas. It's brewed in Texas by Texans. No wonder Bud Light is the number one light lager in the state. Enjoy responsibly. AB Bud Light Beer, Houston, Texas. Advantage BMW. Go down there and see my friends Philip, Justin, and Sergio. They love soccer. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW in Midtown. I love the drive of a BMW because, after all, it is the ultimate driving machine. I've got a 5 Series. Love it. The other thing I love about Advantage BMW in Midtown is their customer service. Second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown. They'll cover you with sales, service, and finance. And it can be done easy. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down there. Say hello to Philip, Justin, and Sergio. They love the sport of soccer, and they love their BMWs just like I do. We'll take a break, and our thanks to Advantage BMW in Midtown.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Back at the tip of the box, Peña. The shot from Peña! Yes!
So that's Ronaldo Peña. You remember that goal in the 1-1 draw in the Texas Derby with FC Dallas. Ronaldo Peña joining us in studio right now. Again, this first hour is brought to you by the Texas Children's Hospital. Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Center is the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials, all dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. For more than 60 years, the Texas Children's Hospital has pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. So our thanks to the Texas Children's Hospital. It is a not-for-profit that relies on generous donations from our friends in the community. And so excited that they're our presenting sponsor here in the first hour. We welcome in Ronaldo Peña now, also, of course, of the Houston Dynamo, member of the Sub-20 Venezuela national team that went to the Sub-20 World Cup final against England. Hector Casteltort, as always, from the Houston Dynamo here to translate. So we'll just start it off. First of all, thanks to Ronaldo for making the effort to come up here in studio.
Muchas gracias, Ronaldo, por venir a visitarnos aquí al estudio. Es un placer tenerte. Y hice una pequeña introducción sobre tu corta y gran carrera en lo que llevas.
Bueno, la verdad que agradecido por ti y por la invitación, porque sé que eres una persona muy reconocida acá en Houston. Y la verdad que, bueno, estoy muy contento de estar acá y vamos a estar muchos días por acá más seguido para compartir contigo.
I'm really glad to be here tonight. I know that you're a really well-known commentator here in the U.S. and in Houston, and I'm hope to be around more often here visiting with you.
Well, that's a deal. We're going to definitely do that. So I want to know the first thing, the first name Ronaldo. Tell me about it.
Lo primero que quieres saber es tu nombre, Ronaldo. Háblale de eso.
Bueno, mi nombre en ese momento, Ronaldo el Gordito, estaba sonando mucho y mi padre, como es aficionado y también jugó fútbol profesional, entonces en ese momento él estaba sonando mucho y le gustó Ronaldo y me quiso poner Ronaldo, a ver si la pegaba, para ver si iba a ser futbolista profesional. Y bueno, gracias a Dios, ahora soy futbolista profesional y la verdad que contento de llevar su nombre.
Yeah, back when I was born, Ronaldo, the phenomenon was the one that was breaking it and doing all the great tricks. And my dad was a professional soccer player, and he chose to name me like Ronaldo, just to see if I could be a great soccer player like he was. And thankfully, I'm a soccer player now.
He's Ronaldo Peña joining us in studio here. Translation from Hector Castelthorpe from the Houston Dynamo. So we appreciate Hector being up here. All right, so talk about football, your first kind of connection to the game in Venezuela.
¿Puedes hablar un poco sobre tu primera conexión con el juego en Venezuela? ¿Cómo te conectaste al fútbol?
Bueno, desde pequeño siempre en mi barrio jugaba al fútbol, jugaba con mis amigos en la escuela. Y luego a los 5 años, ya cuando mi padre ve que estaba creciendo, que ya tenía un poco de talento, me llevó a una escuela para ya empezar a prepararme a lo que sería esto que estoy logrando ahora. Y la verdad que cuando comencé lo veía como un hobby, me gustaba muchísimo, jugaba en la escuela, jugaba en la calle, jugaba con mis amigos y luego poco a poco fui tomando muy en serio el fútbol y a los 12 años me voy para la capital, para el Caracas Fútbol Club, que es uno de los mejores equipos de Venezuela, y ahí comencé ya mi vida como el fútbol, porque bueno, estudiaba y jugaba al fútbol. Y luego a los 17 años me voy para España. En España estuve en Las Palmas. Y luego de Las Palmas estuve 2 años y luego me fui para Portugal, que es el equipo anterior donde estaba. Y la verdad que hasta ahora estoy muy contento de todo lo que he logrado por haber jugado en la selección de mi país desde los 15 años. Y la verdad que es algo maravilloso, porque para uno como un atleta profesional son los sueños que uno quiere cumplir, y vestir la camiseta de mi selección nacional es algo muy importante para mí, porque es el sueño que todo futbolista quiere lograr, y gracias a Dios lo he logrado. He marcado una huella en mi país y la verdad que estoy muy feliz sobre eso.
Yeah, it all started since I was really little. I would go and play with my friends, you know, in the street, in school. And my dad took me to a soccer school to get myself, you know, a little bit more educated on my touch. And then from there, when I was 12 years old, I went to Caracas, the capital of Venezuela. And I was studying and playing there at the same time. I was doing both. And I moved on with the professional team, Caracas FC. And then from there, I went to Spain when I was 17, and I was there for 2 years until I made my move to Portugal, where I was before I was there. And I have been playing for my national team of Venezuela since I was 15, and that's, for me, has been a joy to be able to represent my country and to be able to give all the joy that we have been able to bring through soccer. You know, especially with the last World Cup.
Ronaldo Peña joining us in studio here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, providing the translation, the one and only Hector Castelthorpe. Just the notion of him as a striker. So I would want to get his opinion on what type of striker he is.
Me gustaría saber un poco cómo te consideras tú como delantero. ¿Qué tipo de delantero tú te consideras tú?
In his words.
En tus palabras.
Bueno, yo me considero un delantero aguerrido, fuerte, rápido, que sé aprovechar mucho los espacios, y me gusta mucho caer siempre sobre las bandas, porque antes jugaba de extremo y vengo jugando de delantero hace 2 años atrás, y me gusta mucho ir al espacio y para tener más posibilidades de patear al arco cruzado, como lo fue con el gol que hice acá en el derbi.
Yeah, I would consider myself to be a a strong striker, someone that is always fighting for the ball. I consider myself to be fast, and I like to play on the wings. I used to be a winger, and I think it's been 2 years since I started playing as a striker, as a number nine. And that's something that I like to do. I like to go to the spaces, create myself an opportunity. And, for example, that's what I did on the Texas Derby when I scored that goal.
All right, so let's talk about that goal. Ronaldo Peña joining us here in studio. I thought this was a tremendous goal because of his awareness, his sense of where he was in the penalty area, how he got turned, how he hit it. Ask him to describe that goal and how it occurred.
Tu gol contra Dallas fue un gol muy impresionante. Le impresionó mucho porque esa sabiduría que tú tenías en relación a donde estabas parado, cómo fue esa jugada, cómo fue para ti ese movimiento, el poder estar tan alerta de todo lo que estaba alrededor tuyo.
Esa jugada estaba por la banda la pelota y yo esperaba recibir un centro, pero no pudo llegar, y cuando veo que la pelota viene hacia el medio, yo me desmarco rápido, y cuando veo que Tommy viene hacia mí, yo le pido la pelota y yo se la quería devolver a él, pero cuando veo que el defensa se va con él, yo giro el cuerpo rápido y me da tiempo de patear, porque él se fue con Tommy se llevó la marca, y muchas veces pasa, hay muchos goles así, porque bueno, el central nunca se espera que vas a hacer tú, y hay agilidad del delantero de desmarcarse, y como estaba de espalda al arco, bueno, me dio la oportunidad de patear, y fue un gran gol. La verdad que fue un gol muy lindo.
Yeah, that particular play, I was expecting a cross, but the cross never came, and I saw that the ball started moving towards the center, so I went up to Tomás and I asked him for the ball, and I had all the intention of giving it back to him, but I saw that the defensive back was going already with him, so I was able to spin my body. And I took the shot myself because, again, the defensive back was not expecting me to do that. He was expecting me to give the ball back, but I turned and took the shot.
Fantastic goal. It was all about awareness to me, and hits it a ton, goes in the corner. It was a huge goal in the 1-1 draw. By the way, ask him how his mother's doing. Is his mother okay? Because I know his mother had surgery.
Después del partido, en tus declaraciones hablaste que se lo dedicabas a tu madre. ¿Cómo está tu mamá? Porque sabía que... que estaba un poco enferma. ¿Cómo sigue tu madre?
Bueno, gracias por preguntar por mi mamá. Mi mamá está mejor, gracias a Dios. Ella es mi inspiración porque desde niño siempre hemos estado solos guerreando, y ella es la que siempre me ha motivado a ser mejor persona, mejor futbolista, y estar donde estoy se lo debo mucho a ella, porque siempre dio lo mejor de ella para yo lograr todos mis sueños, y bueno, gracias a Dios ahora está mucho mejor.
Thank you for asking for her. She's doing better. And you know, she's my motivation. She's what drives me to be a better person and a better player. She has given the best of her for me to be able to be where I'm at, and thankfully she's doing very, very well.
Dynamo fans are going to love this signing. He's 21 years of age. He's a pressing forward. I got to see him in the under-20 World Cup there. Venezuela got all the way to the final to take on England. It was a very exciting team under the manager, Rafael Dudamel. Why Major League Soccer? Why now?
¿Por qué viniste a la MLS? ¿Por qué ahora estar en la MLS?
Bueno, porque estoy joven y la MLS está creciendo. Hay muchos jugadores jóvenes que son selección nacional que están jugando ahora en la MLS, y eso me inspiró también. Y además el torneo que está haciendo José Martínez es muy importante, y eso también me motivó a venir acá. Y la verdad que espero dejar mi huella también en Houston y darle mucha alegría a la afición y al club.
Yeah, because I'm a young player, and there's a lot of youth, and this league is growing rapidly, and that's something that motivated me, that wanted me to come here. I also saw what Joseph Martinez is doing in this league. There's a lot of Venezuelan national team players that are playing here, and I'm really excited to be here, and I hope that I can do what Joseph is doing in Atlanta, do it for the Houston Dynamo.
Can Ronaldo stay for one more segment?
¿Te podrías quedar un segmento más?
Sí.
And I'm glad it's the Brazilian Ronaldo, right? I'm glad it's the Brazilian Ronaldo,
sí,
right?
Esta, le gusta que sea
that he was named after. Llames
después del brasileño, el original.
Phenomenal. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. Ronaldo Peña is going to stay with us. We're going to talk to him more about Major League Soccer, the influx of Venezuelan players that have been coming into this league, including himself. You remember that goal he had against FC Dallas, a fantastic one. We'll talk to him about the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup as well. well. More to come here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. And just a reminder, King's Court, the place to be in Edo, 903 Hutchins, shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Look, a lot of Dynamo fans head in there. They'll be in there before the Portland game, El Bateon. King's Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires. They've got Chelsea fan group in there. Bayou City Blues goes there. Real Madrid goes there. I think the Red Army that Tom Clare started for Manchester United there. Rooftop deck, spectacular. Great view, great food, great staff. Say hello to Jay. And, man, the food is absolutely killer there. We had it catered here last week. Some amazing Indian curries and chicken tikka masala. Take a Bud Light break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.